Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 74 Okay, Papa's commenting here. Because you are beyond even the direct and indirect intelligence of Lord Brahma, he prayed, unless we are enlightened by your lordship, it will not be possible for us to understand you. Right. So the direct and indirect intelligence of Brahma. So, you know, so for what he can directly see, and what he can then, through indirect, through the Anuman, what he can then understand, what he can connect together through logic. So Krishna being beyond that, so then if Brahma can't understand, then that means no one will be understand. Because he's the most intelligent. He's got four heads, right? So it's natural he's going to be smarter than anybody else. That's the whole idea, right? My Lord, if one is favored even by a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. So these are those who are studying the Vedas, so let alone those who are not studying the Vedas. Using their intelligence, they can never understand. See, it has to be very, very clear. What else is coming up here? Now, if we talk about pure devotion, right? What's the last point of the Rupa Goswami's verse on pure devotion? Yeah. No, the other one. The next one. Or the one before that. Anyabhi Lashitashanya. Because that's the one you said.
Yeah. I just said that the last.
Oh, I see, yeah. So they karma and gyan, right? Or maybe it's when they translate it, they put it that way. In the Sanskrit, it's not exactly.
Yeah, when the translation.
Yeah, Krishna Anushila Nam Krishna Uttama. Yeah, right. Vijnana Karmadhyaya Navritam, right?
That's the beginning.
That's the beginning. Oh, because in English, that's the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just when they translate it. Okay. So, yes, I understand. So, the karma and jnana. So then, what is this getting rid of, right? My karma, we know we can't know the Lord. We've seen that all with everybody before. But now, we're seeing through jnana. You can't know the Lord. Gyan, yoga, these other different things. You can't know the Lord. So in other words, there is no religious system to know the Lord other than bhakti. It doesn't matter. You can study the Vedas all you like. You will not know the Lord unless you use bhakti. It's the only religion that will reveal the Lord because the Lord reveals himself to such a person. Yes?
There are some people and... They contacted devotees already some years back, and still they're not sure whether this is my path or not, and this and that. They come, they lie, but they just, what's missing in there? You know, why can't they?
There's not enough of Yata Sukriti. Because when the point is that Shraddha develops when there's a enough volume of Yata Sukriti. So that means that they just are, you know, more recently contacting the devotees. So that's why it says it takes many lifetimes. We're saying, oh, but I came in contact and became a devotee. But we've come in contact over lifetimes. And then in that way, then now, you know, in other words, previously we were like that. Yeah, so that's the whole idea, is that the more association you give, the more you expose the living entities to the direct activities of devotional service, then the quicker that Ajnata Sukriti builds up. That's why it's said it's just made by the grace of the devotees. It's causeless mercy. Right? Because we're doing whatever we do in the material world, and basically we're quite happy there. You know, it means we get frustrated and this and that, but since there's 8,400,000 different varieties of options, generally we're, you know, busy enough. So then when that comes to a point, no, then we actually want to know, but that Ajnata Sukriti has come by the grace of the devotees. Then we're actually able to take advantage of the devotees. Then when we meet the devotees and they explain, then we take it up. Right? So even then you see some will immediately, like we said, you know, Madhudvisa, he just saw the Ratha Yatra cart, threw his backpack up on the cart, you know, walked along with the parades, attended the program, went back with the devotees to the temple, and that was it. I'm sure he got his backpack off the cart at some point, but, you know, and then took it into the temple. But that was it. There wasn't any more need. Well, some, you see, they come in contact, and then for years, and then finally, then they take it up seriously like this. But if we see even after years they're not taking it up seriously, like you have many people like that, 10, 12 years, 20 years, they're favorable. They like their devotees, but it's just not enough to get to Sukriti. You know, so they're not unfavorable, but they don't see the need for themselves to get involved. They're still quite comfortable in their own life. But the more they're contacted, the more then, so we can speed up that process by finding ways to somehow or another engage them. You know, prasad or whatever it is that they're comfortable with, and that just again, you know, slowly, slowly then builds up. You know, like that. Yeah. Yes.
So when the Ajnata Sukriti is building up, even slowly and gradually, then Shraddha is also building at the same time. Or
it's a matter of Shraddha will build after when it's
100%.
Yeah, it's not a matter of 100%. It's just a matter of when it's come to whatever position the Lord is happy with. See, there's no karma. Or no gyan. So it's not that, yes, when you get, you know, how you say, 22.73 kilos of Ajnata Sukriti, then you'll get shut. Does that make sense? So in other words, this particular approach has to be, you want to drop it in this canto. Does that make sense? That's the idea. Then we get to the next canto is because if Brahma can't figure it out, we can't figure it out. So in other words, it's just the Lord's mercy. So you act in such a way that this there. So someone does, it's just like, okay. I'm not sure if Prabhupada gave the example or someone else, but it was quite a well-known example. Someone comes to your door and knocks once. I mean, literally just like that. And then nothing else. You know, you're just going, well, is something there? No, nothing. That's it. But if someone keeps knocking, then you go and answer. So that's the thing. Someone does something, oh, this is nice, and then goes back to their normal thing. Then how serious is it? So that has to build until they start to think about it and contemplate that, yes, maybe there's something here. Is this something for me? Is it like that? Then Krishna will take it seriously. Because he's in the heart, so he knows what you're thinking. You know, and he is your brain anyway. So if brain could do it, then the thing is he's giving the brain anyway. And so then if it requires brain, then unless he gives that brain, you won't understand. So in other words, it's still not going to happen except by the Lord's grace.
Sorry, technical question.
Technical.
Amount of brain in foreheads is more than in one. So
yes, that's why it says that. That's isn't that the saying? You know, what is it? Foreheads are better than one, right? You know?
Yeah.
Yes.
My question is about Ravana.
Ravana, he had 10 heads. Yes.
Logic.
Yes, but, well, if you're going to go by that, one is he is on a lower platform, so his heads aren't quite as big.
So it's also by size.
Yeah, you have that aspect. But at the same time, it's because he was inimical to the Lord, therefore he's not going to understand the Lord.
Yeah.
But with his 10 heads, he was absorbed in thinking of the Lord. So from that, then he would progress in his position.
But if we leave the Lord out and we leave just the intelligence, so.
But it won't work. We're saying, that's the whole point, is we're saying that Brahma has more intelligence than anybody. Because Ravana, he doesn't know how the universe works. Right? I mean, Hiranyakashipu could make it work nicely. He'd make it work up to a place or whatever he liked. But actually, the ability that it would do that, why would the trees give fruits in every season? You know, why would everything be perfect? What's the power behind it? He's not catching that. Brahma can see that, but he doesn't understand the Lord who's behind it. So he can see the transformation of the energy, but he can't see the Lord. So, you know, these others, they can't even see up to the transformation. Does that make sense? You know, that's why it says the demons, they tend to be atheistic, because they can't see that the Lord's involved. Right, so you say Shakti Parinamavad, the Shakti is transformed. So for them, it's either where Brahman is transformed, but then Brahman can't, by definition. And so then, therefore, then it has to be an illusion.
This kind of Agyata Sukriti is built up by exposing one to devotional service.
Yes.
Similarly, we see the same principle works with Maya also, exposes one to the more and more material.
Yes, it's always by association. That's why we say, keep good association, keep proper association. That was the point, is that Sobari Muni didn't have any association except fish, right? And they're not known to be great association. I mean, in fact, generally when we give the hierarchy of the living entities, the fish are on the bottom, and above them are plants. You know? Like that. I think it's because the plant has more connection with senses than the fish. The fish are in water, so it's much more restricted. So even though they're moving, then that just seems to be about it. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So here, even by a slight trace of mercy of the lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. So it's just slightly the Lord gives his kindness, then one can understand. The Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can be understood by one who is favored by the Lord. The Lord cannot be understood by others. Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī comments on verse 21 in Bhagavata Sandarbha, Anucheda 105. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is different from matter. The materialists cannot see, understand, or imagine him because they can only perceive matter. We have material senses, material mind, material, you know, sense objects, material intelligence, so they can't perceive what's beyond matter. Or imagine, right? Otherwise you end up with, you know, Ra, you know, some guy with a, what has he got on his head? Ra?
He's got this little funny.
Yeah, but also he's got, it's like a,
oh, yeah, yeah, like
deer,
a bird.
A bird head. He's got a bird head with a beard.
Yeah. I mean, he has different forms.
Okay, but still, it's weird.
It is. And one is a jackal, one is a bird.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of, the jackal one. Okay. Oh, so the bird is also him.
Yeah.
Jackal, bird.
Like a beak.
Yeah, see, yeah.
He's got beak and he's got things.
He's got all kinds of things. Okay. Gets confusing. Because that's why Ramses understood that Moses is God, is God. Right?
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, it took him a while, but hey, you know, we got it. You know. So. Okay. He acts to create faith in the wise who can understand him. That he cannot be understood by the foolish, and that he can only be known through the revelation of the Vedas, is described in the following words, where the personified Vedas say, Who, recently born and soon to die in this world, can know the Lord, who existed before all, and who fathered the great sage Brahma, and all the demigods, great and small? When the Lord lies down and withdraws everything within himself, there is no gross or subtle matter. Material bodies made of the two, time or scripture. So everything, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87:24. It's interesting. Father, the great saint, all the demigods, great and small. I think that's one of the Christian prayers that we say. Somehow or another, connect with everything great and small. Right? Yes. So he can only be known through the revelation of the Vedas. So in other words, studying the Vedas from the bona fide source, and then with that sincerity, the Lord being pleased, giving his mercy, then one can understand. Otherwise, not through the Veda, then one can't understand. And one will get some aspect, because whatever is actual knowledge is Veda. So then coming in contact with whatever that is, and seeing that proper knowledge, one may get some aspect of the Lord, but because it's not coming in the parampara and it's not seen in a complete system of understanding, then it will be very less. You know, so people, the idea, okay, he's the greatest, he's the oldest, you know, like this, he's got the longest beard, whatever it is, then they can catch these things. But they can't catch actually other things, how he's eternally youthful, you know, achinta veda, veda tattva, all these things they can't catch. Okay. The verse says, which of these persons can know you? The personified Vedas say, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was perfect in the beginning, and the others, who are all recently born, are not able to understand him. The words yata, udagad, rishi, means from you Brahma was born. Yam anu ubhaye means after Brahma was born, the demigods and other individual living entities are born. All these living entities are recently born, right? Because in the, you know, Brahma is born, and then everybody else recently born like that. Because the Lord being eternal, there's no being born at all. Right? So those who are recently born, they can't know him because he's before. Yes, and again. Yes. Yes, so we're already, our line's been born again way longer than these guys. You're just born again. How long have you been born again? Yeah, you could really have fun, right? Okay. Okay, this people was perfect in the beginning. So that means what's connected to him is perfect. That's the definition of perfect. Right? The mundane will take it. Perfect means within the material arrangements. Perfect by my sensual knowledge of something, and perfect by my mechanical manipulation of something to get a particular result. They will say that is perfect. But actually perfect means connected to the Lord. So when you're completely connected to the Lord, always absorbed in the Lord, that's perfection. Right? That's a liberated state. Therefore, the acharyas, they're perfect. All the great devotees, they're perfect. And that's, but at the same time, we see the opening to the Bhagavatam is that these verses about the Lord, even though imperfectly composed or chanted, are accepted by those who are honest as perfect. Right, so what does that mean? That means those who are actually dishonest, those who are conditioned, those who have cheating propensity, and make mistakes, illusioned. And what's the last one?
Imperfect senses, illusion.
Imperfect senses, illusion.
Yeah.
Cheating.
Tendency to commit mistakes. So these, then, how will they ever know? So within those who are totally imperfect, then their ideas, no one can be perfect. Just like Duryodhana cannot find anybody who's good. Does that make sense? So that is the definition of what perfect is. Not having proper knowledge and skills of this material world, and where you are very expert in manipulating the material energy, or at least letting people believe you know. Yes.
sadhana bhakti is the process.
Sadhana bhakti.
Sadhana bhakti is a process to become perfect.
Sadhana bhakti is a process to become perfect. Yes, because it's the process by which you can connect yourself to the Lord. That's what you're trying to do. Does that make sense? Because perfection means always remembering Krishna and never forgetting. That's perfect. You know what I'm saying? Other methods to judge perfection are only of value to those who are imperfect. Right? Those who are perfect, they will only use that measure. And those who are imperfect, they're going to use all these different things. You know what I'm saying? Because they're imperfect, all they know is the material energy. So if you're not as good as they are in the area that they are good in the material energy, then they're going to say you're imperfect. And then the fun part is you take all these intellectuals who say they're so perfect in everything, but, you know, as probably gives the story, you know, the scholar and the boatman. Is the scholars, they're absolutely can't use what they know. They can't do anything with it. You know, so therefore the illiterate boatman is actually smarter. You know what I'm saying? But that's the difficulty with these things, is that when you deal on the material platform, then basically there's 8,400,000 perspectives on what's the best. You know, and then there's scripture. Does that make sense? Yeah. The personified Vedas says, when you take back to the spiritual world the Vedas, which teach about you, when you also lie down, closing your eyes to the activities of the material universe, then for the individual spirit souls who lie down with you, there is no longer any way to understand you. So when the living entities go back into the Lord, there are no Vedas, so there's no way to understand them.
Huh?
Yes?
This translation by Vanishwan?
I would expect. You don't like it?
No, it's just weird.
Because he's just trying to say exactly what they're saying. While we're more used to Gopi Purana Dana, who will bring it into the, you know, the literary kind of approach. So that's what we always have said, is when it comes to things that are dealing like with Kavya and literary, then he's, you know, the best. But when it comes to actually the philosophical exactness of it, then Bhanumars is the best. Because he won't leave something out. But because of the nature of, because Sanskrit can say so much, because in, you know, these declined words, then in English it doesn't work as easy. Because, how you say, English is half declined and half not, half declined and half declining that it's declined.
That's how it sounds.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's the point, is that that the scholars decline the point that English is declined, though half of the words are declined.
Yeah,
so that's why it'll come out this way. But, you know, you'll get used to it over the next few years, because next year we're just going to be doing... No, I'm saying that's Sundarvas is one of the classes.
Optimistic.
Yes. Okay. At the time of creation, in other words, saying is only through the Veda and by the mercy of the devotees and the Lord, then you can understand. At the time of creation, the Vedas reveal the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the living entities, because they are recently born after the moment of creation, because they are bewildered by the presence of material bodies and various material designations, and because they are polluted by the power of time, cannot understand the revelation of the Supreme. Right? Because it's past, present, future. How many live in the present? Most people live in the past, mode of ignorance, or in the future, in the mode of passion. Right? So unless you're working according to Shastra and you're functioning in goodness, then only you can function in the present. Right? So, because if you function in the present, it seems like it's so much longer. Right? Past, time stands still, so you're not disturbed. And future, then, you know, there's, you know, keeps you going. The present, then it has an intensity. Yes?
Can we say that Brahma Buddha would be at the stage of the present?
Yes, then you're always present. Yeah.
Because there are no influence of other modes as such.
No, it's Vishuddhisattva. Like that. But then you also aren't affected by the material qualities. The Vedas say, at the time of cosmic devastation, everything enters within you. At that time, because the Vedas have then disappeared, and because they are overcome with the sleep of ignorance, the living entities also cannot understand you. So they can't understand there, the Vedas aren't there, they can't understand because they're asleep, they can't understand after the creation because they get bewildered by time, and because they're born after, so they don't have a context. So basically only through revelation of the scriptures by the Lord's grace then one can know. Anshuman continued, "My Lord, you are fully situated in everyone's heart, but the living entities covered by the material body cannot see you, for they are influenced by the external energy, conducted by the three modes of material nature. Their intelligence being covered by sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun, they can see only the actions and reactions of these three modes of material nature. Because of the actions and reactions of the mode of ignorance, whether the living entities are awake or asleep, they can see only the workings of material nature. They cannot see your lordship." Right, so the basis of the material nature or existence is ignorance. Then there's a little bit of passion and goodness to spice it up. But basically, it's ignorance because they're ignorant of their relationship with the Lord. That's what ignorance is. Right? It means we take it as just this kind of a state of existence. Yes, but that state means totally unaware of the Lord. Right? You know, passion, then they're aware of the mechanics of the Lord. Goodness, then they're aware of, you know, the knowledge. You understand? So it moves up.
Mark,
yes.
Those prayers, they address that feeling.
Yes.
That's why they're so
philosophical. Could be. I mean, you definitely. It's like. You're standing next to, there's Kapila Muni, there's a horse that you're looking for, and there's a large pile of ashes.
That he didn't clean.
Why does he need to clean? So yes, you would speak properly. But the thing is this technical point, we'll see this over and over again. But it's just that the presentation of it, the understanding of it, becomes higher and higher. But it's the same thing. That's why, you know, we get used to it. Okay, so their intelligence being covered by the three modes, they can only see the action of these three modes. Because of the actions or reactions of the mode of ignorance, whether living entities are awake or sleeping, they can only see the workings of material nature. They cannot see your lordship. So that's why you're trying to remove ignorance by proper knowledge. But that knowledge that comes by devotional service. So studying the scriptures, hearing from authority, performing the recommended activities, then by that devotion, that gives the knowledge and, detachment by which then one can understand the Lord, understand our position. Like that. You know, so yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments. Unless one is situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, one is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. However, because the conditioned souls are influenced by material nature, they can see only the actions and reactions of material nature, but not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One therefore must purify himself by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Right. So, because they're in the material energy, they can only see the material energy. They can't see that it works because of the Lord, because the Lord is beyond. They're from the material energy, they can only see that. So the Lord being beyond, they can't see. And they're not interested to see that they're also not from there.
So the Vedas are law of nature.
The Vedas describe the laws of nature. Like that. The Vedas are just discussing about the Lord.
And Shakti?
Shakti means Shakti is the Lord's energy.
Yes. But for example, a human being
has a consciousness, so he can perceive this.
Yes.
He's conscious. But an animal, for example, will just have his sense of instinct.
Yes, but that instinct's coming from Krishna. Otherwise, why do all dogs act like dogs?
But is that Shakti? Is that Shakti from Krishna, that the animal is already in its consciousness?
Is which the Shakti?
If the Vedas were spoken, and if the Vedas were spoken by Krishna continuously.
No, it's just that the Vedas are, you know, the knowledge about Krishna. So that's brought into the world and revealed to Brahma. Then that's giving, comes down through to the living entities. But the Veda is always there, just like it goes back to when the creation finishes, it goes back to Krishna. And so it's not there, and the living entities are asleep in ignorance, so they can't take advantage of it. Right? So the Shakti transforms into the material energy, into the material, what we see, the material phenomena. It's made up of the 24 elements, but then those material elements are able to combine by Krishna entering them so that they can connect to each other. And then things are produced according to his will, according to the primary creation. But the secondary creation is according to Brahma creates that, but how we're situated is according to our desire. We're situated in that aspect of the creation. Okay. So animals can understand eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They understand that fine. They just don't understand anything beyond that. That's why we say if a human being doesn't understand beyond, he's an animal. Okay. Hansuman continued, O my Lord, sages free from the influence of the three modes of material nature, sages such as the four Kumaras, Sanat, Sanaka, Sanandana, and Sanakana, are able to think of you, who are concentrated knowledge. But how can an ignorant person like me think of you? O completely peaceful Lord, although material nature, fruit of activities, and their consequent material names and forms are your creation, you are unaffected by them. Therefore, your transcendental name is different from material names, and your form is different from material forms. You assume a form resembling a material body, just to give us instructions like those of Bhagavad Gita. But actually, you are the original, the supreme original person. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O my Lord, those whose hearts are bewildered by the influence of lust, greed, envy, and illusion are interested only in false hearth and home in this world created by your Maya. Attached to home, wife, and children, they wander in the material world perpetually. O Supersoul of all living entities, O Personality of Godhead, simply by seeing you, I have now been freed from all lusty desires, which are the root cause of insurmountable illusion and bondage in the material world. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, O King Parikit, when Anshuman had glorified the Lord in this way, the great sage Kapila, the powerful incarnation of Vishnu, being very merciful to him, explained to him the path of knowledge. The Personality of Godhead said, My dear Anshuman, here is the animal sought by your grandfather for sacrifice. Please take it. As for your forefathers, who have been burnt to ashes, they can be delivered only by Ganges water, and not by any other means. Thereafter, Anshuman circumambulated Kapila Muni and offered him respectful obeisances, bowing his head. After fully satisfying him in this way, Anshuman brought back the horse meant for sacrifice, and with this horse, Maharaj Sagara performed the remaining ritualistic ceremonies. After delivering charge of his kingdom to Anshuman, and thus being freed from all material anxiety and bondage, Sagara Maharaj, following the means instructed by Aurva Muni, achieved the great supreme destination. Conclusion. The Lord cannot be understood by others because he can be understood by one who is favored by the Lord. Lord cannot be understood by others because he can be understood by one who is favored by the Lord. Okay. But the sons of King Sagara met Lord Kapiladeva. All living beings in the material world are influenced by the three modes of material nature. Therefore, Anshuman wanted to explain that because his uncles, who had burnt to ashes, were under the modes of nature, they could not understand Lord Kapiladeva. Unless one is situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, one is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The living entities covered by the material body cannot see you, for they are influenced by the external energy, conducted by the three modes of material nature. Their intelligence being covered by Sattva-gun, Rajagun, and Tamagun, they can see only the actions and reactions of these three modes of material nature. Because of the actions and reactions of the mode of ignorance, whether the living entities are awake or sleeping, they can see only the workings of material nature. They cannot see the Lordship. One therefore must purify himself internally and externally. Apavitrapavitrova sarvavastam gatoviva yasmaret pundarikaksham sabahyam hyantara suchidhi. To keep ourselves externally clean, we should bathe three times daily. And for internal cleanliness, we must cleanse the heart by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Then it will one day be possible to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Okay, chapter 9, the dynasty of Anshuman. Pratigya. If one practices devotional service from the beginning of his life, surely he will return home, back to Godhead, without a doubt. Because the Lord instructs Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yovedi tattvataha. Although Maharaj Katvanga engaged himself only for a moment in devotional service to the Lord and was promoted back to Godhead, one should not use this as an excuse. Right? Because, in other words, we see things that we like and then we say that, oh, that's what I'm going to do. But you have to see the qualifications of the person. Yes, okay, if you want to use this as you only need to do a moment, then first be qualified that the demigods call you for you know, battling with the demons and you're actually able to defeat them. Then we can talk about, okay, only doing devotional service for a moment. Like that, no problem. The Lord gives the instruction, Maya Shakta Mana Partha Yogam Yunjan Marashrayaha. Now hear, O son of Prita, Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Therefore, from the very beginning of one's life, one should practice bhakti yoga, which increases attachment for Krishna. When one's mind is attached to Krishna, Maya Shakta Manaha, one can fulfill the mission of life in human birth. The most intelligent person, therefore, uses every moment of his life to render loving service to the Lord. Chapter 9 summarizes questions and answers. Maharaj Prickett asks Sukadeva Goswami question 9.1 of Srimad Bhagavatam from 9.9.19. O Sukadeva Goswami, why did Vishishta, the spiritual master of Saudasa, curse the great soul? I wish to know of this. If it is not a confidential matter, please describe it to me. Right. So this is also a point, is that one is inquisitive, but it's not that because you're inquisitive that gives you the right to know the answer. Right. In other words, I'm inquisitive about this, and basically if I'm qualified and to hear the answer, then you please explain it to me. This modern thing is no, because I can think of it, therefore. Because that's the whole idea, is no, if you desire it, then go out and buy it. Right? And if you don't have the money, don't worry, here's a credit card. Right? And if you feel good, then you're good. Like that. Because otherwise, if it was actually based on reality, then would the economy go as well? If people were actually thoughtful and, you know, about their happiness, would they be spending as much money as they do? You understand? So therefore, we have to understand this is good for the economy, this kind of consciousness. And then people are foolishly thinking they're free. One, is they're controlled by the modes of nature. And then people under the modes of nature then further try to control them through the economy. And then they feel, because I have chosen to buy this or go there or this and these, that therefore I'm free. Right? I go to the stand, there's 300 different kinds of magazines, I choose one of them. Therefore, I'm free. But why didn't you just turn around and walk off and not buy any of them? like that. That shows we're not free.
That's not an option.
That's not an option. 300 magazines, come on, you got to buy one of them, right? And then the problem is, do I get this one or that one? You know, because, you know. Yes.
This point of when unqualified people ask questions, so how do we deal with them? Because it's kind of awkward situation.
It depends. If you can see what's the essential point that they're wanting to know. One is, that means the point that they don't know they want to know.
Yeah.
So that aspect is there. But just answering that, they will think you haven't answered the question. So then you have to point out from their question, what is their question?
Yes.
Then answer the question, and then...
But then they get offended, like, how come you know better than me, you're so buff.
No, but you don't say like that. It says, oh, so here's a nice question. So here they're asking about, you know, this aspect of the Lord. And then you explain it.
Hmm.
You know, so it just means... They don't know that that's what they were asking, and so then you point it out. You don't say, no, that's not good, you know.
So indirectly.
Yeah, indirectly.
Yeah.
Like that. You know, it's always the Aikido method. Yeah. Arm goes this way, you just go like that, and they fall over. Yeah. Srila Sukadeva Goswami gives a reply to question 9-1, right? So it's about the center. Everything's off the center. So it's just Krishna is the center, and then you're just bringing everything off the center. So whatever comes in, it just goes off the center. So, yeah. Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami gives a reply to question 9-1 in one of the sections of chapter 9. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes the history of the dynasty of Anshuman up to Katvanga. And it also describes how Bhagirat brought the water of the Ganges to this earth. The son of Maharaj Anshuman was Dilipa, who tried to bring the Ganges to this world, but who died without success. Bhagirat, the son of Dilipa, was determined to bring the Ganges to the material world. And for this person, he underwent severe austerities. Mother Ganges, being fully satisfied by his austerities, made herself visible to him, wanting to give him a benediction. Bhagirat then asked her to deliver his forefathers. Although Mother Ganges agreed to come down to earth, she made two conditions. First, she wanted some suitable male to be able to control her waves. Second, although all sinful men would be freed from sinful reactions by bathing in the Ganges, Mother Ganges did not want to keep all these sinful reactions. These two conditions were subject matters for consideration. Bhagirat replied to Mother Ganges, "The personality of Godhead, Lord Shiva, will be competently able to control the waves of your water. And when pure devotees bathe in your water, the sinful reactions left by sinful men will be counteracted." Bhagirat then performed austerities to satisfy Lord Shiva, who is called Asutosh, because he is naturally satisfied very easily. Lord Shiva agreed to Bhagirat's proposal to check the force of the Ganges. In this way, simply by the touch of the Ganges, Bhagirat's forefathers were delivered and allowed to go to the heavenly planets. I guess all this time they were just that pile of ash and they're all just sitting around, you know.
he agreed to Mother Ganga's conditions, Bhagirat, even before he asked Shiva.
Well, he got her. He was getting asking her to come down, and then she said these are the conditions, and so then he has to fulfill those conditions. So then now he'll have to.
He's quite self-confident.
That, or very dependent on the Lord, something.
And very worried about his forefathers.
Yes. But that's it's, you know, duty. It's just in the line, so. Because you have to take care of them anyway. That's the Shraddha rites. So in this case, then, you know, you kind of have to, because, you know, nothing was done. There's just a pile of ashes there. So.
Because he was told by Kapila that
the
Lord empowered him by his instruction.
Means.
He was told to do the whole process by Kapila Dev.
No, he was saying you can deliver. He knows he wants to deliver. That's what Prabhupada mentioned in the beginning, is that he told him, he instructed him, but he didn't quite leave. So then he understood there was something more. So then he says, okay, you bring the Ganges, then your forefathers will be delivered. The son of Bhagirath was Shruta. The son of Shruta was Nabha. And Nabha's son was Sindhudvipa. The son of Sindhudvipa was Ayutthayu. And the son of Ayutthayu was Rituparna, who was a friend of Nala. Oh, okay. And Rituparna gave Nala the art of gambling and learned from him the art of Ashwavidya. Right, because Nala had lost his kingdom by gambling. Because that's what mentions. Manu mentions that, you know, Yudhishthir and, Nala, then they lose by gambling. That's why kings shouldn't get into gambling. So he lost it by gambling. And so he didn't know how to gamble, because I think who took it from him was his brother. So he was better at it. So then he learned from Rituparna gambling. And then Nala taught him the art of Ashwa, because he could, by how he dealt with the horses, he could make them fly, literally. Like that. Not just go fast, means they would fly. You know, like that. That's a whole another story. But Prabhupada says that the story of Nala and Damayanti says that has nothing to do with us. So. Great story, but it's not.
So close.
Yeah, quite close. Ashwa means horse, and Vidya means knowledge of horses. So he knew horses. He knew how to look at. Because Rituparna had all these horses. He says, we're going to need... Because they had to get from one side of India to the other in one day. And so, you know, he said, you know, if I have the right horses, I can do it. Right? And so then he went into the stables. He took them there to see his best horses and that. And he looked at his best and he looked at other horses and found some other horses that didn't look as strong and fit. He says, now these are the right horses. Because you can tell by the lakshanas on their body. And so they would be able to fly. Well, the other horses would be strong and good for running on the ground, but they wouldn't be able to fly.
Too heavy.
Yeah, too heavy. It's all those oats, right? You know, weigh them down. Okay? Okay. The son of Rituparna was known as Sarvakama. The son of Sarvakama was Sudasa, and his son was Saudasa. The wife of Saudasa was named Damayanti, or Madayanti, and Saudasa was also known as, Kalmashapada.
Damayanti.
Yeah, no, this is all part of that story. This is all that story. Because of some defect in his fruitive activities, Saudasa was cursed by Vishishta to become a Rakshasa. While walking through the forest, he saw a Brahmana engaged in sex with his wife. Because he had become a Rakshasa, he wanted to devour the Brahmana, although the Brahmana's wife pleaded with him in many ways. Saudasa devoured the Brahmana, and the wife therefore cursed him, saying, as soon as you engage in sex, you will die. After 12 years, therefore, even though Saudasa was released from the curse of Vishishta Muni, he remained sonless. At that time, with Saudasa's permission, Vishishta impregnated Saudasa's wife, Madayanti. Because Madayanti bore the child for many years but could not give birth, Vishishta struck her abdomen with a stone and thus a son was born. The son was named Asmaka. The son of Asmaka was known as Balika. He was protected from the curse of Parasaram because of being surrounded by many women. And therefore he is also known as Narikavacha. When the entire world, this is like we see with Arjuna and that in Yudhishthir, Chitrarata, then when after they defeated him and captured him, then his wives came out of the water and prayed to free him. So their point is that they won't continue dealing with someone who's protected by women. Right? So the same thing here is then Parasaram he was protected by women, so he just left them alone. You know, because it's already considered that, you know, here's the big Kshatriya, but he's being protected not by his own prowess, but by the woman's desire, and that's it. And so therefore, okay, we'll let that run. So out of respect for the women, but then that means that it's not so respectful towards the Kshatriya themselves.
Nagapatnis also saved their husband.
Right? Yeah, yeah, like that. So it's you know, it's just a common thing. That's what's done. So actual chivalrous people, then they'll respect that. But, you know, he can't say is that, you know, yeah, I was so, you know, like that. Like that. Okay. When the entire world was devoid of Kshatriyas, he became the original father of more Kshatriyas. He is therefore sometimes called Mulaka. From Balika, Dasarat was born. From Dasarat, Aidavidi, and from Aidavidi came Vivasvasaha. The son of Vivasvasaha was Maharaj Katvanga. Maharaj Katvanga joined the demigods in fighting the demons and was victorious, and the demigods therefore wanted to give him benediction. When the king inquired how long he would live and understood that his life would last only a few seconds more, he immediately left the heavenly planets and returned to his own abode by airplane. He can understand that everything in this material world is insignificant, and thus he fully engaged in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. Summary of verses. 1-17. King Bhagirat brings the Ganges to this material world. 18-40. Saudasa took up the mentality of a Rakshasa. 41-49. Maharaj Katvanga attained the Lord in a moment. Verses 1-17. King Bhagirat brings the Ganges to this material world. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, King Anshuman, like his grandfather, performed austerities for a very long time. Nonetheless, he could not bring the Ganges to this material world, and thereafter, in due course of time, he died. Like Anshuman himself, Dilipa, his son, was unable to bring the Ganges to this material world, and he also became a victim of death in due course of time. Then Dilipa's son, Bhagirat, performed very severe austerities to bring the Ganges to this material world. Thereafter, Mother Ganges appeared before King Bhagirat and said, I am very much satisfied with your austerities, and am now prepared to give you benedictions as you desire. Being thus addressed by Ganga Devi, Mother Ganges, the king bowed his head before her and explained his desire. Mother Ganges replied, when I fall from the sky to the surface of the planet Earth, the water will certainly be very forceful. Who will sustain that force? If I am not sustained, I shall pierce the surface of the earth and go down to Rasatala, the Patala area of the universe, because Rasatala is the next one down, no?
It is just above
Patala. Rasatala is just above Patala.
Patala is the lowest, then it's
the Rasatala. Oh, okay.
I'm not quite sure when Vamanadev pierced the upper covering in the universe, then Ganga.
She came in, but only moved in the heavenly planets.
Oh, I see.
Like the heavenly planets, and there you have mountains, and she would just touch the tops of the mountains. So if you wanted to take bath, you had to climb the mountain. And also then there's an area where she's just going through space, I think something where
carried by the airplanes on the
airplanes that are carrying all the pots of water, some special thing also. So she was only up there. Sorry?
It has been described as the Milky Way in Canto 5, that in the airplanes in the Ganges Milky Way.
Okay.
Where are they carrying her?
Just, you know, through that air scene there. And so then it was bringing it down. We say the material world means down to the earth. Like that. Because otherwise she was only in the heavenly planets. Yes, so that's why she's saying, because dropping from there all the way to Earth, she'll just go right straight through and go all the way down. So she wants to avoid that. O King, I do not wish to go down to go down to the planet Earth, for there the people in general will bathe in my water to cleanse themselves of the reactions of the sinful deeds. When all these sinful reactions accumulate in me, how shall I become free from them? You must consider this very carefully. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 5. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can accept the reactions of anyone's sinful deeds and neutralize them because he is pavitra, pure, like the sun, which is never contaminated by any worldly infection, right? So he just neutralizes. It's not that it goes to him and he takes it. Like, we take on sinful reactions of other people, then we have to deal with it. But he just neutralizes. One who is very powerful is not affected by any sinful activity. But here we see that Mother Ganges fears being burdened with the sins of the people in general who would bathe in her waters. This indicates that no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is able to neutralize the reactions of sinful deeds, whether one's own or those of others. Sometimes the spiritual master, after accepting a disciple, must take charge of that disciple's past sinful activities, and, being overloaded, must sometimes suffer, if not fully, then partially, for the sinful acts of the disciple. Every disciple, therefore, must be very careful not to commit sinful activities after initiation. The poor spiritual master is kind and merciful enough to accept a disciple and partially suffer for that disciple's sinful activities. But Krishna, being merciful to a servant, neutralizes the reactions of sinful deeds for the servant who engages in preaching his glories. Even Mother Ganges feared the sinful reactions of the people in general and was anxious about how she would counteract the burden of these sins. Right? So it's not a light thing, but it means surrendering to the Lord, then these things can be clear. If we don't surrender to the Lord, they won't be clear. Yes.
So can we say by sadhana, then we can digest the reaction?
It's by sadhana we please the Lord and He'll, because it means others or our own.
Right.
Probably mentioned both. So even the reactions of our own, it's not because I performed the sadhana, that's what made it go away. I performed the sadhana, the Lord is pleased that it goes away. So the same way, as removal of sin, understanding the Lord, you know, developing that all by His mercy. Everything we do is technically by His mercy, but, you know, otherwise then if we get too much on the others, then we'll forget all again about the devotion.
Because often said is if we are in the consciousness, I'm the doer,
yes,
then we take to the reaction. But yes. if my consciousness, I'm the servant, there's no reaction.
Krishna neutralizes it. But it's not because I'm in that mentality, that's what neutralizes it. It's because I'm in that mentality, I'm pleasing Krishna, therefore Krishna neutralizes. And, otherwise, then again, we'll become proud. You know. Like that. So that's the whole thing. It's always about Krishna. Because that's the whole mentality. Why are we trying to get that always about Krishna? Because for Krishna, it's always about the devotee. So unless we're on that same level, then how is it the same? So that's why in puja, then yoga means to bring your consciousness to the same level that you're always absorbed in Krishna. So then you're on the same transcendental platform. So then you can do puja.
Then we see from the famous story, the gopis and all others, that everybody is worried about sin, unless
yes.
it comes to them, and they don't really worry at all.
No, because they're absorbed with the Lord. Their point is that if Krishna wants, if by suffering that it'll make Krishna happy, then they're fine. Their point is they just want to see Krishna happy. That's what makes them the greatest of devotees. Because others are worried about their own wealth. They're worried about the Lord, but their own wealth, but they're not even worried about their own welfare, just the Lord. But it's not a just saying I don't care, but it actually, they don't care. Right? For them, if the Lord's happy, they're happy. That's why Aslishyabha Pada, the Tampi Nirsha. King Bhagirath said, those who are saintly because of devotional service and are therefore in the renounced order, free from material desires and who are pure devotees, expert in following the regulative principles mentioned in the Vedas, are always glorious and pure in behavior and are able to deliver all fallen souls. When such pure devotees bathe in your water, the sinful reactions accumulated from other people will certainly be counteracted. For such devotees always keep in the core of their hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can vanquish all sinful reactions, right? So only Krishna can remove the sinful reactions. So because these devotees, Krishna is always in the core of their heart, therefore when they bathe, then all the sinful reactions will be removed because the Lord's there. Right? So it's not that he was just being bold. He was actually, you know, understood the philosophy. Yeah?
Those reactions are not transferred to those same people.
No, it's just neutralized by the Lord.
Because previously you said that the sinful reactions are transferred to the spiritual master.
Yes.
Despite him being an elevated Vaishnava.
Yeah, but that's the process, because if it wasn't, then would we care? Then everybody would come, get initiated by a spiritual master when you're more purified, then go back to what you're doing. Just like I think it was one particular, you know, how you say, I think they're still going on. I guess it works. Mm-hmm. One rock band, then every year, they would go and have a complete blood transfusion. Because they would take so much drugs and alcohol and so much nonsense that their blood was so toxic that they would just change the whole thing and then they would be going on. I think they still play and they're like 70 years old now or something.
Oh, yeah.
so people would just do like that. But when it's consideration, the personal and all this and that, then we'll be more considerate. But the point is Krishna protects them. But there's that consideration. You shouldn't think, oh, well, Krishna protects, it doesn't matter. Because the whole thing is we're trying to get to the personal. It means the tattva is there to explain things, but it's about the personal relationships. That's the actual important thing. Yes?
I think in Upadeshamrita, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that Uttava Adhikari, he can accept any number of followers.
Yes.
But he says for Kanishtha and Madhyama, they have to be careful.
Yeah.
Because then he can
bring them down. Yeah, I mean that the Shastric recommendation just for general is 12. So they're taking beyond 12, they're already going above recommendation.
Wow. So 12, it's basically easy, it's not a difficult.
Yeah, that's there. That's like any teacher in the Gurukul, he'll take on 12 students. That's all he'll take. You know, maybe less. Like you see, some of them only had. Means in the beginning of Mahabharata, you're talking. I think one that's there right in the beginning, he only had 3 disciples. Sometimes he only have 1. So you know, it just depends upon. You know, and then others like Vishishtha or Durvasa, they have 10,000. You know, they're in another category. So. Yeah, but one should be careful. One shouldn't just take on just, you know, that. You know, it has to be very serious. They have to be qualified as students. The spiritual master has to be qualified in that he's always, you know, absorbing himself properly in his service. Then it'll work. But, you know, it's not just, it doesn't matter. Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments. Mother Ganges is available to everyone for bathing. Therefore, not only will sinful persons bathe in the Ganges water, but in Haridwar and other holy places where the Ganges flows, saintly persons and devotees will also bathe in the waters of the Ganges. Devotees and saintly persons advanced in the renounced order can deliver even the Ganges. Tirti, Kurvanti, Tirtani, Svanta, Stena, Gada, Brita, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.10. Because saintly devotees always keep the Lord within the core of their hearts, they can perfectly cleanse the holy places of all sinful reactions. Therefore, people in general must always respectfully honor saintly persons. It is ordered that as soon as one sees a Vaishnava, or even a sannyasi, one must immediately offer respects to such a holy man. If one forgets to show respect in this way, one must observe a fast for that day. This is a Vedic injunction. Like Prabhupada, I think they were at Kumbh Mela, and the devotees saw some Mayavadi sannyasis and they didn't offer obeisances. And Prabhupada says, no, they're sannyasis. You have to offer obeisances. Right? Because they are sannyasis. So that aspect of that renunciation and all that, they're practicing that. That has to be respected. But if they're Vaishnav, that's why he says, one sees a Vaishnav, or even a sannyasi, like that. So they're not meaning, well, Vaishnav sannyasi. That means just a sannyasi. They're not even devotees. But one must be extremely careful to refrain from committing offenses at the lotus feet of a devotee or saintly person. There are methods of prayaschitta or atonement, but they are inadequate to cleanse one of sinful reactions. One can be cleansed of sinful reactions only by devotional service, as stated in regard to the history of Ajamiya. Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful reactions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.15. One is under the protection of a devotee and sincerely renders service unto him. By this process of bhakti yoga, one is certainly able to counteract all sinful reactions. Because he's always absorbed in the Lord, so being with the Lord, then they go away. We could say, well, all living entities are with the Lord. But the point is, they don't know they're with the Lord, so they don't get that benefit. Because otherwise, he is in every atom, in between every atom, so then where's the question? But it's when, as Bhagavan, that aspect, that's then where it's there. Or even if it's just understood on the other two, Brahman or Paramatma. That's why the sannyasis, even if they're just absorbed in Brahman, it's still the Lord. So because of that, then they're you know, considered respectable. But the devotees are the greatest. So they can only get rid of the weeds of sinful reactions, that they won't come back. Otherwise, some material desire comes up, we remember Krishna, it goes away. But then we see sometime later it comes up again. Why? Because we only partially were absorbed in the Lord, so it only partially went away. You know, and then if we remember the Lord again, so like that, gradually everything goes away. But these individuals, because they're always absorbed, then there is no reaction. King Bhagirath said, like a cloth woven of threads extending for its length and breadth, this entire universe, in all its latitude and longitude, is situated under different potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is the incarnation of the Lord, and thus he represents the Supersoul in the embodied soul. He can sustain your forceful waves on his head. Right, so, because the Lord is what is through the whole universe, he sustains the universe, and Lord Shiva is the incarnation of the Lord, therefore he can therefore sustain. That makes sense. So, that's why he didn't have to worry that he was just saying it. You know, it wasn't just some quick thinking here. It's actually connected back to the Lord. You can see is that the Lord is the support of everything. Therefore, the Lord will purify, the Lord will give that support. So, yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments. Lord Shiva is described in the Brahma Samhita 5.45. Milk changes into yogurt when mixed with a yogurt culture. But actually, yogurt is constitutionally nothing but milk. Similarly, Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, assumes the form of Lord Shiva for the special purpose of material transactions. I offer my respectful obeisances at Lord Govinda's lotus feet. Okay, so, when we're talking about that non-difference, then as Krishna comes in this form. When we're just talking about Shiva, then we're talking about him as a devotee. So, Lord Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the same sense that yogurt is also milk, although at the same time it is not milk. That should be understood. For the maintenance of the material world, there are three incarnations, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is Vishnu in an incarnation for the mode of ignorance. The material world exists predominantly in the mode of ignorance. Therefore, Lord Shiva is compared here to the longitude and latitude of the entire universe, which resembles a cloth woven of threads extending from both its length and breadth. Right, so he's the incarnation to take care of the mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance is pervading everything. Therefore, Lord Shiva, therefore, is pervading everything. Therefore, Lord Shiva can handle the force of your waves. Right? Since he's the latitude and longitude, you're not going through the latitude and longitude when you hit the earth. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What are they? Four Vaishnava Sampradayas, they all consider Lord Shiva as different and non-different from the Lord?
I'm not sure how the other Sampradayas
see.
Yeah. Means we'll see like that. And definitely the, what do you call it? Those in the Rudra Sampradaya will see him in a good light. Shris, they just don't deal with demigods, so there's a good chance they don't even really think about him. But I'm not sure.
They don't think of him.
Yeah, they don't think of him at all. So therefore, it just doesn't even come into picture. It's not that they insult him, they just don't deal. He just doesn't come up in the conversation. Right, you know, Vishwakshena, you know, like that will come up, Lakshmi, you know, all the great personalities like that will not see. And the Madhvas, they're respectful towards demigods, but they see them all as just the potencies of the Lord. So that way they don't have a separate existence. So we're the only ones that I know of that deal on this platform. Right? But you can't get distracted by it because there is a difference. Although at the same time, it is not milk. So that's what we're saying. He is non-different from the Lord in taking care of this aspect in the creation, in the material world. So we say he's non-different, but at the same time he is different. So therefore then, that difference then we see as the devotee. And we could say, but you know, why we just see as the devotee, but then every incarnation of Krishna, every expansion is a devotee of Krishna. So Balaram's a devotee of Krishna. Right? Vishnu is a devotee of Krishna. They're all devotees of Krishna. That's Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, after saying this, Bhagirat satisfied Lord Shiva by performing austerities. O King Parikit, Lord Shiva was very quickly satisfied with Bhagirat. When King Bhagirat approached Lord Shiva and requested him to sustain the forceful waves of the Ganges, Lord Shiva accepted the proposal by saying, "Let it be so." Then with great attention, he sustained the Ganges on his head, for the water of the Ganges is purifying, having emanated from the toes of Lord Vishnu. The great and saintly King Bhagirat brought the Ganges, which can deliver all the fallen souls to that place on earth where the bodies of his forefathers lay burnt to ashes. Bhagirat mounted a swift chariot and drove before Mother Ganges, who followed him, purifying many countries until they reached the ashes of Bhagirat's forefathers. The sons of Sagara, who were thus sprinkled with water from the Ganges, because the sons of Sagara Maharaj had offended a great personality, the heat of their bodies had increased, and they were burnt to ashes. But simply by being sprinkled with the water from the Ganges, all of them became eligible to go to the heavenly planets.
There's a story that she went out of the years.
These are further stories. Those will be, that's probably what, Mahabharata?
No, I think it's.
Maybe. But, you know...
It's not years after this, because she just comes to the earth and then she's flowing, you know, then she flows in the ashram of Jani Muni.
Yeah, but that's not explained here.
It's later.
Yeah, so the whole idea is that you're just giving the whole thing. So if he asks a question about it, that's why it had. Because most of these, he would just keep talking and listening, but he asks a question about something, and then he gives further detail. That's why if you have a qualified speaker in here, then it works very nicely. Because the qualified speaker can speak whatever is necessary. The qualified here then knows what is appropriate to ask. Like that. So, in other words, it's something of particular import in which you can use in your life to value. Rather than just, you know, it's inquisitive. It's just, that's interesting. You know. But simply by being sprinkled with water from the Ganges, all of them became eligible to go to the heavenly planets. What then is to be said of those who use the water of Mother Ganges to worship her? Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 12. Mother Ganges is worshipped by the water of the Ganges. A devotee takes a little water from the Ganges and offers it back to the Ganges. When the devotee takes the water, Mother Ganges does not lose anything. And when the water is offered back, Mother Ganges does not increase. But in this way, the worshipper of the Ganges is benefited. Similarly, a devotee of the Lord offers the Lord Patram Pushvam Phalam Toyam, Bhagavad Gita 9.26, a leaf, flower, fruit, or water, in great devotion. But everything, including the leaf, flower, fruit, and water, belongs to the Lord, and therefore there is nothing to renounce or to accept. One must simply take advantage of the bhakti process, because by following this process, one does not lose anything, but one gains the favor of the Supreme Person. Right, so everything belongs to the Lord, so you don't lose anything by offering it to the Lord. Right? And the Lord doesn't gain anything by you offering it to him, because it's already his. But that reciprocation, that devotion, then that is beneficial to the devotee. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Simply by having water from the Ganges come in contact with the ashes of their burnt bodies, the sons of Sagar Maharaj were elevated to the heavenly planets. Therefore, what is to be said of a devotee who worships Mother Ganges faithfully with a determined vow? One can only imagine the benefit that accrues to such a devotee, because Mother Ganges emanates from the lotus toe of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantadev. She is able to liberate one from material bondage. Therefore, whatever is described herewith about her is not at all wonderful. Because she's coming from the lotus feet of the Lord, he can deliver anyone. So it's not a wonderful thing that she can do that. Right? It's because of her connection with the Lord. That doesn't mean it's ordinary. We're just saying that extraordinary is normal for the Lord. Therefore, it's not extraordinary. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 14. It has actually been seen that anyone who regularly worships Mother Ganges simply by bathing in her water keeps very good health and gradually becomes a devotee of the Lord. This is the effect of bathing in the water of the Ganges. Bathing in the Ganges is recommended in all Vedic Shastras. The one who takes to this path will certainly be completely freed from all sinful reactions. A practical example of this is that the sons of Sagar Maharaj Sagar went to the heavenly planets when water from the Ganges merely touched the ashes of their burnt bodies. So that's one of the aspects to take advantage of, like that. But there is a saying in Bengali that one who lives next to the Ganges takes bath in a tube well. What to do?
I guess devotees stretch it and say that the water comes from the shower, it's the same like a Ganga, because it's, you know.
That means on one level, yes, you can say that, but are they remembering the Ganges? Like if they went down to the Ganges, you're offering obeisances, then going in, then touching the water, then going in respectfully, remembering Ganges, and then coming out. Like that. So if they're doing like that when they take their bath, then a good chance maybe they'll get the benefit. That's the whole point, as Prabhupada says, you can't use it as an excuse. You still have to be Krishna conscious. Yes, you could. I think within 3 kilometers of the Ganges, it's all Ganges water. So therefore the water in the Calcutta temple, that's Ganges water. Yeah, that pond outside.
They're that close to the Ganga?
Yeah, they're within 3. Calcutta is dainty, like, you know, so sort of close. The pond in front, that's Ganges water.
They bathe in
when there's no water anywhere, then that's what you get. I mean, I think maybe once, but it wasn't an uncommon thing because there were such big potholes in front of the temple in Albert Road. Devotees would sometimes bathe in the water from those. You know, quite big, clear water. You know, so it rains at night, so it's clean and fresh. No cars have gone by because who's out at 4 in the morning? You know, so they go down there and bathe there. Like that. Calcutta. You've lived in Calcutta. Yes. Remember, I was surprised some devotees. It was in L.A., and we're on the sidewalk. And you know how you have in the West those funny little sprinklers that pop up a little bit and get spray very low? Like that. And then someone came with some maha, you know, something in the hand, and ate that. Then all the devotees are sitting around looking at the hand, now what to do, because, you know, then they got to go either all the way across the street to the temple or up into somebody's house or this or that. I just bent over and washed my hands in the water that was coming out of the sprinkler right there. And they all just looked, they were so shocked. It's like, wow, you know, I never would have thought of that. You know, it's like, you know, you can only wash your hands with water that comes out of a tap, right? You know, it's like, And then they said, I've heard about that, you know, devotees from India, then they know, you know, like this and that. So
they were
yeah, so they were impressed. You know, and I was just thinking, what? And I was thinking, this is great. You know, it's better than a pothole. Right? Sukadeva Goswami continued. Great sages, completely free from material lusty desires, devote their minds fully to the service of the Lord. Because right? What the whole point is that attraction means what we're attracted to in the world. Everything is the Lord. But if we're attracted to these things without understanding the Lord, that attraction, that's lust. Right? But when we see it's the Lord, then that's the affection. So we understand it's the Lord that's interesting. That's why then the secondary is not important. Because it's about attracted that to use it in the Lord's service. Right, so in the spiritual world, you know, that's just the natural thing. Here it's something that can be developed. But when we look at it without the Lord, so that's why it says free, completely free from material lusty desires, means whatever they see it in connection with the Lord. Devote their minds fully to the service of the Lord, because then there's no devotion to the material. Such persons are liberated from material bondage without difficulty, and they become transcendentally situated, acquiring the spiritual quality of the Lord. This is the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagirath had it, so that's the Lord's glory, is that by His grace the devotees come to that platform, because they're always thinking of Him. He within the heart then purifies them of all, of everything, right? What's that? Tesham evanukam partam, like that. This is the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagirath had a son named Shuta, whose son was Nabha. This son was different from the Nabha previously described. Nabha had a son named Sindhudweep. From Sindhudweep came Ayutayu, and from Ayutayu came Rituparna, who became a friend of Nalaraj. Rituparna taught Nalaraj the art of gambling, and Nalaraj gave Rituparna lessons in controlling and maintaining horses. The son of Rituparna was Sarvakama. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to verse 17. Gambling is also an art. Kshatriyas are allowed to exhibit talent in this art of gambling. By the grace of Krishna, the Pandavas lost everything by gambling and were deprived of their kingdom, wife, family, and home because they were not expert in the gambling art. In other words, a devotee may not be expert in materialistic activities. It is therefore advised in the Shastra that materialistic activities are not at all suitable for the living entities, especially the devotees. A devotee should therefore be satisfied to eat whatever is sent by prasad by the Lord. The devotee remains pure because he does not take to sinful activities such as gambling, intoxication, meat eating, and illicit sex. Right, so because he's dependent on the Lord, then whatever comes by that, because by gambling then you could possibly get more. Right? So they're not worried about that. They're just dependent on the Lord. So they perform their duties, whatever comes naturally, then that's there. Outside of that they don't get involved. So, yes.
Mutual funds
share everything is shared. Mutual funds. Well, it depends. Technically, mutual funds are supposed to be shared, but then somebody who's in control of them figures out a way to siphon it off, and then it's not necessarily mutually shared.
Yeah, actually, it is not mutually shared.
Hmm?
It is not mutually shared.
Yes, it's just called mutual because then you'll feel good. But they don't describe who the mutual is. I think she was talking about one thing, but then we, by chala, moved it into something else. Mutual funds, I think they're kind of like insurance and stuff like that, or it's like funds go in, you work in a company, a certain amount is taken and goes into a fund, and then that will take care of everyone when they retire. All these different kinds of things, there's different ways that it's...
Whatever profit has been earned by the company, it is being shared, you know, amongst the holders.
Yes, like that. That's as long as it gets to the holders and somebody doesn't figure out how to make off with it. So you were talking as a way of sinful activities on how to...
No, this is an example of gambling, I'm asking.
Which? Mutual funds?
Yeah, and share market. Because we're not...
Depends on who you are. means in the share market, then there's, I forget what's the percentage, I think it's 7%. 7% or 5%. They're technical traders. Right? They're not gambling. They know the science of how it moves. So they make money. But who do they make money off of? The other, you know, 93% that don't know the science. So for them, it's gambling. Right? Does that make sense? If you just do, but if you go in as a technical trader, it's not gambling. Like brokers, they're not gambling. It's just straight business. You go through them, you buy, they get a cut. You sell, they get a cut. So they're just brokers. They don't even deal with the market. They manage the things for you, but they don't do otherwise. Does that make sense? Yeah. So if one is a technical trader, one is using those things, then there's no problem. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. And that brings us to Saudasa. Or Rakshasa. Okay, so that will be today's Monday, no? So then tomorrow. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada.